preacher knows how to be cheeky. Short. Take your Bibles with me, please, and open to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. We have been speaking lately, we're going verse by verse through John 10. We've been talking about the Good Shepherd. And one of the things that the Good Shepherd does is he gathers his flock together to give him praise. And we're just going to learn this morning that it's good to do that. It really is good. And it's good in every way. So Psalm 92, this is the word of the Lord. A psalm. A song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious or meditative sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad. We just sang that, right? You have made me glad. Comes out of Psalm 92. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I love this song, and it is perfect for today. Because it is a song written for the Sabbath day. Notice the inscription, a song for the Sabbath day. Now, the Sabbath day, under the law of Moses, was the day for worship. What is the day for worship now? Sunday. Why the change? Do you know the answer? Why the change? Christ rose from the dead. Way to go. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changed that. That now the appointed day for worship is resurrection day. Side note, in Russia, the word for Sunday is Voskresenye. Resurrection. So every week, nearly all the Russians throughout the land are saying the word resurrection. Isn't that cool? Well, this is a song written for the worship day. And it is a song about worship. It's about corporate worship. It's a song about gathering together on the day set aside for worship. And worshiping God together. Now, you might think verse 2, it's about personal worship. You declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. But it's referring to the fact that on the Sabbath, they worshiped Friday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday. They would have morning worship. Notice the forms of worship is good to give thanks to the Lord as worship. And it is good to praise your name, O Most High, as worship. It is good to declare your loving kindness in the morning, on Sabbath day morning. That's worship. And it is good to declare your faithfulness every night, every time we gather for worship. It is good to do all these things. Notice the accompaniment, verse 3. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious or meditative sound. All of that is talking about worship. In the household of God, if you look further down, it says, verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. So here we have a song that is meant to be the day of worship, and it's all about worship, and the one truth of the entire psalm is this.
It's good.
The first word in the song is good. And by implication, that word is repeated again and again. Good.
to give thanks to the Lord. And good to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And good, verse 2, to declare your loving kindness in the morning, and good implied. To declare your faithfulness every night, verse 3, implied good to do it on an instrument of 10 strings and on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. Verse 4 begins to give reasons for why it is good. That's it. Good to gather for worship. Good to sing his praise. Good to give thanks. But what does good mean? You know, if I say, as I did yesterday, my sweetheart makes an amazing pumpkin pie, and we celebrated the birthday of one of my good friends yesterday, Brad and Richard from Woodland Park, and I gathered together, rode motorcycles in the dirt. It was great. And then my sweet wife made a stromboli and pumpkin pie. And I said, that is some good pumpkin pie. What does good mean there? Delicious. Tasty. Right? That's what good means there. If I say, oh, those are some good kids. Do I mean tasty? No. What do I mean? Well-behaved. Obedient. Respectful. If I say, there's some good parenting going over on in the Comden house. Good parents. What do I mean there? Tasty? No. Obedient? Maybe. Faithful? Diligent? Committed? Abiding by the wisdom of God? Good has many different senses. And so, what does the psalmist mean when he says it is good to sing praises to the Lord? There are three meanings in view. First, it is pleasant. It is good, i.e. pleasant, to give thanks to the Lord. This is in verses 1 to 3. Pleasant means delightful, enjoyable, satisfying, sweet to the soul, kind of like marshmallow mateys. It's sweet. It's good for you inside. You know, think about things that are pleasant. Good meal with good friends, good fellowship, followed by a good back rub, and a good night's sleep. That's all good, isn't it? Pleasant. That's the idea in the first three verses. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. And that especially comes out in verse 3. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with meditative sound, with music that is good for us to meditate on God. And the psalmist, first and foremost, is saying, that is a good, pleasant thing. By way of application, what do you think about coming to church? Do you view it as pleasant, or is it like, oh man, Sunday again? Do we have to? Isn't that the cry of so many children? Isn't that the cry of the unbeliever? Right, we're going to talk about the senseless and the fool in a minute, who really doesn't get that it's good. Who really doesn't see worship as a pleasant, desirable thing, and really doesn't want to come. I was there one time when I was not a Christian. Drag me kicking and screaming or complaining or sitting in the back pouting, because last thing I want to do on a Sunday morning was go to church. Not anymore. You know, God changes that. And what we're being given here is the believer's view of corporate worship. This is the Christian's view of corporate worship. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if he has made you glad through his work, you know what? You can say with the psalmist, it is good, i.e. pleasant, to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to his name, O Most High. There's a second meaning to good in this psalm, and that meaning is it is proper. It is good, i.e. proper, to give thanks to the Lord. This is in verses 4 to 11. It's fitting. It's appropriate. It's only right that you should. Think about things that are fitting, right, to give a thank you card. You get married, and people give a lot of gifts. And you say, oh, do you think I should write a card, a thank you card, to all those people who gave me all those gifts? And somebody goes, that would be good. Meaning not tasty. That means it would be fitting. It would be the proper thing to do. Well, look, that's what the psalmist is teaching here. It is good, i.e. proper, to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to the Most High, because, notice verse 4, for you, Lord, have made me glad. Let's just stop there. Has God made you glad? Has he made you happy? Do you have forgiveness of sins? Do you have the promise of eternal life in heaven? Do you have hope? Do you have a confident expectation? Thank you for that song, Miss Brenda. Think about God's love. Think about the love of God as He made you glad that the God of heaven loves you and cares about you. And to see that He cares about lepers in India. I mean, that's fascinating. By the way, if you didn't preach this, Pastor Rick or Libby, if you get the chance to go there again, you got to go to... Right away, I was like, oh, I hope you preach 1 Corinthians 15, or I hope that you will. Every believer in Jesus Christ is getting a new body. The older we get, the gladder we are to that truth, right? But you know what? That's a truth they need to know. Listen, part of the gospel is not just forgiveness of sins and eternal life in heaven, but you get a new body, a glorious body, an immortal body. It's only fitting that we should sing praise to God because He's made us glad through His work. And here I'm just going to give you a bit of a quick outline of the next verses. It is proper in view of God's works, verses 4 and 5. It is proper in view of God's word, that's 5b. Take a look. O Lord, how great are your works, for your thoughts are very deep. Well, how would he know anything about the thoughts of God? They're written down. We have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2, 14 to 16 says. Right? God has written his thoughts down. We know what he thinks about various things. So to give thanks and to worship God is proper in view of his works. It's proper in view of his word. It's proper in view of his plans for the wicked. Look at verses 6 and 7. A senseless man does not know. Anybody have a different word, verse 6, senseless? What do you have? Stupid. What else do you have? Brutish. It's the word for a beast, an animal. You know, talk about Misty Puppy, probably far too much in the pulpit. I'll have to give that up, I guess. But Misty Puppy, I got a dog. You know, she's 6, and she's a great dog, but she's never made me breakfast in bed. She just goes by instinct, right? She doesn't sing praises to her master who feeds her. My wife gives her marshmallow. Do you give her marshmallow mateys? Is that what you're giving her? My wife gives the dog Cheerios every morning. Cheerios. Yeah, she's very spoiled. But she's a beast. She doesn't give thanks to God or to us, but you should not be like a beast, right? If God has blessed you and given you life and breath and every good thing you have, it's only proper, it's only fitting that you should sing his praise and gather together for worship. So it's proper in view of God's works, proper in view of God's word, proper in view of God's plans for the wicked. Notice 6 and 7 and following, a senseless man doesn't know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. Listen to what Spurgeon says on this. Terrible as this fact is, no true-hearted man would wish to have it otherwise, because treason against the monarch of the universe ought not to go unpunished. You know, do you think that Hamas should not be destroyed? No, they should be destroyed. And anyone and everyone who stands with a group whose goal is terror and whose name means violence deserves to be punished. And if you don't like that, you're not on God's side. Because God made a covenant long, long ago with the children of Israel saying, whoever curses you, what? I will curse. Hey, you want to stand up against Israel, buckle up. You deserve to be destroyed. Any mother who doesn't protect her children would be a godless mother. Any God who doesn't protect his children would be no God worth worshiping. Our God is worth worshiping. Worship to him is proper in view of his plans for the wicked, which is to get rid of them, to destroy them. Yes, and we seek to save them. Right? God doesn't take delight in that. But you should rejoice in the fact that the God of heaven is not going to let wickedness reign forever. It's also proper in view of God's plans for the righteous. Let's keep reading. Verse 8, but you, O Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn, that's my strength, my power, you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. What's the psalmist teaching here? He's saying it's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Why? It's good in that it's pleasant.
It's a delightful thing to do, but it's also proper in view of God's words, His works, His plans for the wicked, and His plans for the righteous. All of that is fodder for praise. The more you study God's word, the more you read about His works, the more you understand His own works in your own life, the more you see His plans for the future, the more praise should flow from your lips. It's only fitting. It's only proper. It's also one more in this subline here. It's proper in view of God's position. Verse 8, God is, sovereign. God is sovereign. Verse 8, but you, Lord, are on high forevermore. It's good to sing praise to your name, O Most High. Or the last line, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in Him. To worship God is good in that it's pleasant, but it's also fitting and proper in view of who God is. He is God Almighty, the eternal, living, one and only, holy, mighty, independent God. That's spelled Elohim, and all of that is drawn from Genesis 1:1. Eternal, living, one and only, holy, mighty, independent God. But third, and this is the highlight, I think. To give thanks to God and to worship Him is good in that it's profitable. It's not just pleasant and proper, it's profitable. It's good for you like Life cereal. Hey, Mikey, he likes it. It's good for you. Look at what the Lord says in verses 12 to 15. And by this, I mean it's rewarding, it's beneficial, it's to your advantage, it's for your own good. Verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. What all is worship good for? It's good for maturity. It's good for maturity. Verse 12, picture of growth there, right? Shall flourish like a palm tree, grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Compare that or contrast that with the wicked who grow up like what? Grass. Chaff. One is a picture of big, tall, and strong. The other is a picture of tiny, weak, and to be trampled on and to be burned. Right? The righteous shall grow up as a result of gathering together in worship. I have said to many men who are limited on time, they say, well, you know, I can't make it to small group Monday night. I can't make it to Tuesday night. Can't make it to Awana Wednesday. Hey, if that's true, make the most of Sunday morning. Make the most of Sunday morning. Take notes. Be serious. Listen to what God says. Don't take it for granted. This is God speaking to you through a weak vessel. And this is how He does it, right? God uses weak instruments to speak to your heart. And He's telling you this morning that for you to gather and worship Him is good. It's pleasant, it's proper, and it's profitable. Profitable for what? First, for maturity. Second, for stability. Look at verse 13. Those who are planted, firmly planted in the house of the Lord, will flourish in the courts of our God. I mean, how many people are unstable? Unstable as water. It's this way and that, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Unstable in their marriages. Unstable in their workplace. Unstable in their thinking. It's like constantly back and forth and back and forth. Like, no stability. You know what? You gather with God's people Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You take God's word seriously. You learn from God. I guarantee you, over time, you will be a rock. You will be solid. You will not be spineless. You will have a backbone. You will be able to stand up for truth and stand against wickedness and error. You will also have wisdom for resolving countless problems. Not everybody's going to listen to that wisdom. That's all right. You're going to be a rock. You're going to be, hey, I gave the wisdom. My hands are clean. I'm going to move on and give counsel to the next. And I will not quit because we walk by faith and not by sight. Gathering on Sunday mornings is good for you. It's good for maturity. It's good for stability. It's good for productivity, even into old age. Look at verse 14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Ah, I'm not there yet, but I like that. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that. Listen to this. Quote, again, Spurgeon is golden here. Aged believers possess a ripe experience by their mellow tempers and sweet testimonies that feed many. Even if bedridden, they bear the fruit of patience. Even if poor or obscure,
Their lowly and contented spirit becomes the admiration of those who can appreciate such things. Another commentator, listen, aged people, and I'm listening too. Another says, we therefore look for something superior in old disciples or senior saints. We look for more meekness of wisdom, more making of sacrifices, more maturity in judgment, more confidence in God, and all this to the praise and glory of God. That's William Jay. That's a good quote. I'll tell you what, if you gather for worship Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year, you will grow. You will become stable. You will become mature. And one day, you'll become an old saint who is still bearing fruit for God. I love the older saints. Thank you, older saints, for coming to church. You are such an encouragement to me. And I've told Donna and Anita this many times. You know, many people are I won't even say an age. I guarantee you get to an age where you could certainly justify staying home. You really could. But the fact that you don't just encourages me to keep going. I love that. That is a powerful testimony in old age. Profitable for maturity, profitable for stability and for productivity, and profitable for the next generation and the glory of God. Verse 15. See where it says to declare? This is talking about the aged. This is talking about the senior saints. The senior saints, verse 14, will still bear fruit in old age. They'll still be fresh and flourishing in order to declare, meaning in their old age, to declare, keep declaring, the Lord is upright. He's my rock. There's no unrighteousness in him. You know, as people get older, they sound a little bit more like a broken record. That's okay if that record is testifying of Christ. Roy Fry, you've heard me mention Roy Fry many times because he's somebody who confronted me in my sin as an unbeliever at age 27 and told me I was going to hell. Roy Fry, in his final days, all he could do was quote Scripture. The only thing he could do was quote Scripture. And he said, well, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He'd quote John 3:16. You know, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he would just quote various verses. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's like a broken record. But blessed broken record. Think about things that are profitable for you. Exercise profits a little. It's good. Do some weights. Do some running. That's good for you. But godliness is profitable for everything. 1 Timothy 4:8. Having promise for the life that now is and for the life which is to come. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. One aspect of his shepherding is he gathers us all together on an appointed day to worship him in the appointed way, and he does it for our own good. Do you believe that? Amen. By way of application, I would encourage you simply to plant yourself in the house of God. Plant yourself. See, it says, verse 13, those who are planted. It's only talking about those who are planted. Many people are not planted. They are not firmly rooted. Show up now and then, here and there, pretty much never. You don't want to be like them. You want to be a rock. You want to be a tree. You want to be a mighty oak in the household of God. How do you do that? Gather together. When it's time to worship, join in the singing. Even if you don't have a good voice, just join in the singing. It's good for you. Sing praises. Declare his goodness. Declare his love. And do not forsake the assembly. Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. That's a shot at the some, that they might not continue to forsake. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the God of heaven, my prayer is that you would know him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this great psalm. It truly is good to gather together in your house and give you the praise that you deserve. It is pleasant, proper, and profitable for everyone, I pray, Father. Keep us faithful in your flock. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.